going to the hurry-up offense.
Russell out of the shotgun. Here comes the rush. Russell's got to get it away. Down to the back of the end zone. Into the arms of the receiver. It's Jimmy Graham. There's a flag down. And it's a touchdown, Seahawks.
Here they come. Mariota back. Guns it. It's in a coverage. Picked off by Flowers to the far sideline. 15-10. 5. Touchdown, San Diego.
Matthews got it back. Sets, looks, throws. He's got Golden Tate who makes the catch. Inside the 15. Inside the 10. And he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over.
Not cool, Golden Tate. That's someone's daddy. Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program. Delivered, as always, by McDonald's all-day breakfast. Anytime you want to deliver some of them tender vittles to your belly, do so. It's a good time of the day. Looks like Cynthia Freeland seeking to buy me.
Next time they
like
should
that.
Give us some here, right here.
Yeah, maybe
right
you should bring some, Dave.
Yeah.
Since you talk about every day you talk about how you get some, you never bring it.
Check animal. Right?
Yeah. You're right. You're right. Okay, let's jump into the hurry up. We'll say hello to everybody, Ike Taylor, Handsome Hank included, properly in just a moment. But this is the hurry up. Let's get to it. Ike, I start with you. Who's going to win the AFC North? Going into the Steelers-Ravens game, I declared the Steelers could put a stranglehold on that division with a victory. They would knock the Ravens down 2+ games. They would be a game and a half ahead of the Bengals there and be pristine within the division. Instead, it's a big muddled mess now.
Ravens.
Ravens are going to win the division, eh?
Sorry, but I'm not sorry.
Well, I mean, well, you should be sorry. Handsome, how say you?
The Bengals.
I hear that noise. Freeland.
I actually still have the Steelers. I looked at their strength of schedule, and theirs is the easiest.
I'm inclined to agree with Freeland. I think they're going to write the shit.
Wait, you said
so
that
slight.
About everyone. You said you're inclined. Oh, I like, yeah, I agree.
No, I didn't agree with the Ravens. I said I hear you on the Bengals, but right. I ultimately do all bend to the Steelers as they come down. They still have Baltimore coming into Pittsburgh to play that
Which they're playing well in Pittsburgh.
I know, but they get the
and
Browns.
They got
twice.
Cleveland. They got Cleveland. Baltimore has Cleveland this Thursday.
Why do you think the Ravens are going to win?
Baltimore has Cleveland this Thursday. I think they're going to win that game.
Okay.
They're not scared of Pittsburgh. It's in Pittsburgh. I do know that.
Agree.
Cincinnati, it's a toss-up between Cincinnati, man. I mean – I want to be a homer. I'm just looking at it from my point of view. They got our number. You know, a few years, Baltimore, you know, we hate Baltimore for a reason because we feel like they took our blueprint. Mm-hmm. And they've done a pretty good job with our blueprint. Right now, our defense, I mean the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, is just like in a disarray. So when you have a defense that's not on the same page, it's kind of hard. When you have an offense on the road, you know, going from 28 to 17 points is a lot, you know. So when you just can't figure it out on the road, it's kind of hard. Baltimore, it doesn't matter. They finally getting their pieces together. Steve Smith is back. We can talk about Fluco, a.k.a. Flacco, all we want to. But we can't talk about what he's done in the playoffs.
Well, their offense is not good, though. That's the ultimate point.
I mean, but the defense ain't playing bad. Like, their defense isn't bad at all, is what I'm saying.
I suppose. And, Handsome, you want to make a case for the Bengals?
I just think consistency. I think they're a team that doesn't have a lot of the highs and lows like you're talking about with a team that sort of goes on the road and doesn't score 10 points fewer. I think they may wind up regretting that tie in London. I think that could really be crucial.
The glass half full right. orange drink, black and orange drink is that actually
is the thing that just bumps them over somewhere.
Right. Freeland, make your case
Ravens
for Pittsburgh.
And Steelers haven't played yet at all, so they still have 2 games left.
No, incorrect. Ravens just beat the Steelers.
Oh, sorry. Ravens and Bengals haven't played at all. Sorry. My bad. Bengals and Ravens still have 2 games left against each other. The Steelers get the Browns next week, so one week different, and the Ravens have to go to the Cowboys to play in Dallas. So for me,
significant if, in fact, the Steelers can handle their business this Sunday against the alleged America's team. All right, let's look at the other North now, and Freeland, I'll start with you on this one.
Ugh.
NFC North, who's going to win that one? Your Lions jumped into it realistically with that overtime victory that I foretold of, but that you doubted would happen.
When you win all of your games on a game-winning drive, yes, you do have to win the close ones in football, but not all of your games should be like game-winning drive because it's very hard to know if you're going to always have that last drive, just in terms of clock management. But for me, I think Green Bay somehow pulls it off.
Ike?
I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions. And here's why I'm going with Detroit, man. You play games for close games. Like, from a player standpoint, you'll have a few times you'll have a blowout. You might got three games you'll have a blowout. But for the majority, man, everybody from a talent level has the same talent on that field. Now it's just the logistics. Now it's just the who going to make more plays. When you're built to play in close
everybody's
games.
Everybody's 8-8, as right. they say, or most teams are ultimately 8-8.
When you're talented, built right. for close games, there's no such thing as pressure. It's, man, we've been here before.
And when you've been tested.
So now you're a team that's used to blowing out, mm-hmm. and you get into a close game, it's like nail-biting. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, what do I do? So now you get wrong calls. Then after you get wrong calls, you got guys jumping off sides. Then when you got guys jumping off sides, you just look like you're pressured in crucial moments. I like what Detroit doing, man. I like Matt Stafford. Like, Stafford, man, and we said, and Bucky said it best. Bucky was like, until Megatron leave, we really won't know who Matt Stafford is. Megatron has left. Matt Stafford has been looking like that first-round draft pick that we all know.
Well, at least he's the gunslinger's nails mm-hmm. when it matters most in the game. Handsome.
I think these two divisions are similar because the AFC North, you asked us about, like, the default answer would be Pittsburgh. Like, oh, Ben Roethlisberger's there. They'll find a way to work it out. That's what the Steelers do. Default answer here should be the Packers. But I don't think – I agree with Ike. I think the Lions, the battle-tested Lions, will be the ones that pull it out.
You know what?
It's going to be by game.
That's an interesting comparison to make. I'm ultimately with Freeland here. And, yeah, you know what? Maybe I'm falling prey to exactly what you're describing, Handsome. But, yeah, I'll take the Packers to win it in spite of the fact that Ike is right. I think the Lions getting it done, you would be right, Cynthia, I think, if these things happen in a vacuum, that last-second comeback. You can't keep doing that, except it probably does mean something to –
Packers need a run game.
Emotionally. But I think it matters to the Lions that they keep doing this, that this then feeds the narrative. This is our year, and these are human beings ultimately, and I think that
The Packers need a run game. The Lions are using the Patriots' short passing game with their running back as a run game. So they figured it out.
Handsome, now we've talked a little bit of politics. We did so in the summer with your pal, Jay Ajayi.
Mm.
Man, and your three-game winning streak
on that
Miami
train.
Dolphins. We tested you on U.S. politics.
Yep. Not really politics, history.
Right, history, who the first president of the United States was. You answered Abe Lincoln, which was a bold pick, but it was incorrect.
He should have been. I will maintain that. It doesn't matter whether he was or not. That's who I'd have voted for.
He was a great president. That much you're right about.
I got you. Yep. I got you.
So anyway, that's Handsome,
know,
the Brit.
Like, time-wise, if that would have worked. But
just let Handsome.
Got it.
Why would you bring that up?
He's still a little raw about what happened back in the 18th century. Now, Ike, I'm
that
curious
wasn't an
about
election.
This. I'm curious about, do you guys talk about politics in the locker room?
It's more of a, Democrat or Republican, what the tax is going to look like.
I mean, I'm not surprised to hear that.
It's a lot what the taxes look like.
Then I assume most guys skew to the right.
Yeah, them boys go to the right. Them boys want their taxes to be all the way low.
Does anybody ever argue? How dare you speak out against Hillary's progressive policy?
It's one of the biggest arguments.
Really?
Guys get very sensitive about politics in that locker room. So, honestly, we kind of stay away from politics because then it gets everybody, coaching staff, cafeteria workers, trainers, everybody get involved because that's one topic everybody can have an opinion on.
Right.
So that kind of like clears the set. So we try to stay away from
I'm almost surprised that a coach doesn't walk in and say, one cardinal rule we have here is no one talks about politics.
Man, they got heated one time on the football field, had to stop practice.
Really?
Had to stop practice. had to stop. It got heated one time. I was like, damn, y'all really feel this way about politics?
Really?
We got a game.
Oklahoma drill. Days. Circle them up. Circle up these two guys. They got to figure out this.
You guys on the right. You guys on the left.
Mitt Romney's trade policy is unacceptable to this defensive
pack. It got heated, really. Man. That's when I was like, oh, yeah, this is real. People really care.
I guess that's neat. Yeah, we saw LeBron show up and J.R. Smith show up for Hillary. Yeah. We see some of our Belichick, I guess, writing letters to Donald Trump. It's interesting stuff here on Election Day on the DDFP. Let's start the show. And yes, hi and hello once again, and welcome to the DDFP. And as always, it's delivered by All Day Breakfast, Handsome and Cynthia. And I would like to deliver some here to Studio 66. Perhaps I'll do that. Your request has not been unheard.
Yes.
Can I get one of you guys behind the glass, go pick up McDonald's? Yeah, I'm going to do that because I'm a good guy. So, all right, let's go around the table here and say hello to everybody back from his travels. Boy, oh, boy, he's the hardest guy to wrangle here at NFL Media these days because he is our world traveler. He is also our resident Miami Dolphins fan. Feeling good, it's Handsome Hank.
Remix.
That's the remix. Which one of y'all back there did that?
Hello, Hank.
I like that.
That's
feeling
awesome.
A little Cajun today, Dave.
Yeah, starting out. Yeah, a little Cajun spice in there.
He's James Bond.
I don't know what you mean because he's English.
He's British.
He's a handsome devil, right? He's a gunslinger.
Like, James Bond is like one of my favorite actors, and you come out.
He's one of your favorite actors.
Apparently, he's a little raw, but you are feeling good
there
about
gonna
your
There is going to be a new James Bond, right?
Yeah, who is going to be,
I don't know.
I think it's, I thought I heard it was Idris
Elba. They're going
black?
Yeah.
I thought I heard that as well, but I haven't.
If it is in fact someone black, why would it not be Ike Taylor?
Right, that's exactly where I was headed.
Cool, right. But also right. An assassin if he right. needs to be. Ike, real quick, give us a line read on Bond, James Bond, shaken, not stirred.
Yeah, that's it right there.
But you have to do it.
No, it wasn't just, James Bond just fine with the women. That's like,
I see.
And he got all the gadgets.
That is the thing with you. That's probably.
Tough guy. Easy. When he walk into the room, man, it's just like,
oh, James.
Yeah, I know, but Ike, that's the thing. That's probably what ultimately disqualifies you as being the next 007 is that you're awkward.
That was rude.
Well, you're a little awkward with women.
You're lucky I'm married. I always say something.
Come on, Ike. Do one line read as James Bond. If you're James Bond, what would you say?
No, let's go. Let's start the show!
All right, let's say hello to him. Number 24 from the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ike Taylor, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Morning, Greta.
Number 24 has got opinions for days. I'm E-T-A-Y-L-O-R.
Ike Taylor.
Hey.
That is the catchiest song.
Hey, why y'all said, why y'all was like, E-T-A-Y-L-O-R. Why y'all lost to first six letters?
Ike is difficult to spell.
I-K-E-T-A-Y-L-O-R.
Ike Taylor. Nah, y'all said it right now.
I know.
At first she was like,
I-K-E-T-A-Y-L-O-R. Ike Taylor. Yeah, the speed spelling. Make sure you check out Ike Taylor, by the way. Doing a legit great work on the Monday night post game of Monday Night Football on Total Access. Really fun to watch. And, of course, everything on NFL Now that he's doing and so on and so forth. And, of course, with us here on Tuesdays. And make sure you look out for Handsome Ike Taylor and Cynthia Freeland on NFL Pick'em coming up this weekend on Saturday. Thrice opportunities to watch that. 8:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and then 1:30 a.m., Eastern time. You can watch our Pick'em segment along our Pick'em show on NFL Network combined with Move the Sticks. And around the NFL now, the aforementioned one who still needs a theme song, who just said she likes old school rap and she can play it on the piano. Perhaps
that's
she'll
it.
Give it
there
to
it
us one day. In the meantime, let's say hello.
Gotta get a theme song.
Yeah, that's right.
I need a theme song. Yeah. I'm doing well, thank you.
I suppose you are. Your Detroit Lions were victorious this weekend in a thriller. And
nobody talk about it. I'm scared.
Why are you scared?
Thursday night football, Jinx. Game day morning, NFL Fantasy Live and beyond. That's how you you check out Cynthia Freeland's work.
Why, yes, yes. Indeed.
Now, of course, we're all this is what we do. It's in the season. Like I say, we do the Pick'em show now. We do that every Thursday here on the DDFP. But the wizard of them all remains a two-year-old child. Football baby, he is magic. He went 3-1 this weekend, soaring now to 93. I think he's
just make something up.
I think he's 94-36.
Yeah, that sounds
and
right.
I think he's now 22-6.
Yeah, that's it.
I think
yeah,
that is.
You probably shouldn't tell him how good he is at it.
I know, yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I want to keep him humble.
Keep him humble.
Now, what he is doing, what's going to make his head even larger figuratively, is his large physical head is being taken around like Flat Stanley, around Football America and beyond. He made his way to Cleveland this weekend, thanks to Douglas Potter for that. Football baby threw down some barbecue in Arrowhead with Russ Kidwell and Adam Walters. Sunday night, he went to Oakland with Matt
Rodriguez.
Oh, he was in Oakland? Yep.
Mm-hmm. There he is, twice.
Yeah, he was at there. Look. If they had lost, Football Baby would have gone to the black hole. I don't even know what to think about that.
I know, right?
Sunday, and then he was out and about at Seattle
with the 12s.
Again with the Seahawks podcast. We appreciate everybody.
This passport is tight.
Look at his look at that. He's been all over the world.
Has he been to Ford Field?
He has not been, as a
I could probably
fact.
Get that.
Yeah,
right
let's
for
see
you.
Let's see if you can make
Football
that
baby
for
needs
us,
to go to Ford Field.
He also made a visit. I should point out he paid a visit. Yes, to Vancouver. British
oh, he went
Columbia.
To the Cove.
VC
he went
Lions.
To the CFL game. Yeah. Yeah, he's getting all over the place.
Maybe
yeah.
he'll get to the Grey Cup.
Beautiful.
That's coming up soon.
Beautiful woman from Vancouver.
In Vancouver,
no question.
All right, James Bond. Ike Bond. Ike Bond.
Ike. It's nailed on.
All right, yeah, and if you want to check that out, or if you would like to be joined by Football Baby at a game, go to my Twitter account, @Damashek, and there is a picture of him, a PDF you can print out, or just hold up your cell phone at the ball game with
exactly.
a picture of Football Baby. Now, next up, just real quick before we jump into the thrill of victory and agony of defeat and something else we want to get to regarding the quarterbacks here at the halfway point, Ike,
who is
pal,
also,
Ryan
also
Clark.
Handsome, yeah.
Also True. Handsome.
Just confusing.
Right.
Well, he didn't. You don't get to be 007. If
got it.
Not an attractive.
0024.
real quick, just wanted to get your thoughts on this. Ryan Clark weighed in here. He has noticed that the Steelers secondary is not tackling very well. And I mentioned that the '08 AFC title game, the most vicious football game I've ever watched in my life. Ryan Clark really punctuated it with his head-on collision with Willis McGahee. Devastating stuff. I reminded Ryan Clark about that. He said he's not about that life anymore. He tweeted. He also later in the day mentioned that what the Steelers need is Ike Taylor's tackling ability, right?
Me and RC talked about this. And I say it all the time, just tackling from a cornerback's perspective, it's a want-to. We can say what we wanted to say about Richard Sherman, but he's probably one of the best tacklers at the cornerback position, and it means a lot. So you see receivers catching 5-yard hitches, corners missing tackles, now become a 20-yard gain. It hurts the team. So Coach LeBeau was always adamant about tackling the catch. As soon as they tackle the catch, as soon as you tackle the catch, you're helping your team out. You know, no yak yards, no yards after the catch. So a lot of guys, and you saw last night, man, you saw Jimmy Graham jumping over a few corners. You know, that's a want to. We call it sticking your face in the fan. We get all hyped up about the interceptions, and that's cool. And it's going to help out the team for sure. But tackling, making the team go down in and down out through that long field, sooner or later, something good is going to happen for that defense. But when you give up a 15-yard game, when you give up a 27-yard game, you're not doing nothing but hurting your team.
It's a plague. Yeah, obviously transcends just the Steelers. You see a lot of pro football guys
making executive decisions.
2016 is the year that kickers can't kick the ball, but also, I mean, this is something that dates prior to that. I mean, tackling in the 21st century, guys just sort of throw their shoulder into guys and assume that
that's going to work.
You're going to tumble.
You could not hit them as hard and wrap them up, and the play would be over.
All right, let's get to it right now here. Let's get to the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Yes, this is time that we go back. We review what we saw in the given week. Freeland, I start with you. What was the best win you saw?
I'm going to go with the Raiders.
Yes, that's the one I've got too.
I think that you saw an improved defense. That was kind of the question mark. We already saw how high octane their offense has been playing. But in this case, their defense was much improved. If they can continue that improvement, then I think we see them go maybe even deep into the playoffs, maybe until they meet the Pats.
Well, and also, you know, the fireworks offensively were all on the ground. I mean, they played powerball against the
Latavius Murray had three touchdowns.
The one thing is, though, we have been pointing at this for now more than a month. The Denver defense, while mighty against the pass, can be had on the ground. Now, maybe that's a product of the fact that they're trying to funnel offenses into running the ball on them. That's what they want to do, keep the score low, so on and so forth. But nevertheless, I mean, they got had, the Denver the defensive run game, or the run defense did. Ike, your best win of the week.
I'm going to stay with Ms. Freeland, but I'm going to go to her hometown. I'm going to say the Lions. The Lions.
Hey, listen, that's
coming
that's,
back 23 seconds left to tie the game up, getting in field goal position, going to field goal, taking the ball in OT, winning the ball game against the league's one of the best defenses in the league. I'm telling y'all, man, watch out for the Lions.
Well, and noteworthy too, because of course, when you win in your division, it knocks down the team. I mean, had the Vikings won that game,
it would have been
the Lions would have a shot. They can make a run at the wild card, but their chances of winning the division probably go out the window, even with half a season to go. Now it's on. You know, now this is a real chase for the division crown. Handsome, how say you?
Well, why not the Miami Dolphins?
All right, that's
why wouldn't
fine.
It be
I don't
the
mind
Miami
you
Dolphins.
Saying that.
That's fine. Three in a row.
Hey, they're in it.
They're in it. They're one place out of a wild card berth, and they seem to have found a formula for the first time in about a decade to a consistent formula for winning and an offensive line that is making things happen
all
for
right.
JHI.
Let's talk about this real quick then. We have to decide once and for all. Ike and Cynthia, how do we feel about a person like Handsome Hank? And I understand where he's coming from on this, but about 3 weeks ago, he closed the book on the 2016
Miami.
No,
it wasn't about 3 weeks ago. It was about 9 weeks ago.
All right. Is he allowed now? Because, a lot of players, a lot of coaches, a lot of organizations don't like it when – like it is in Pittsburgh this week. A lot of people are saying, fire Tomlin. Dude, they got to get rid of Tomlin, dude. Roethlisberger's no good anymore, dude. All that kind of – that's what is filling up the radio waves and beyond in Pittsburgh right now. What does the team do? What do the players do when everybody starts cheering? If, let's say, the Steelers beat the Cowboys this week and everybody's going to be back on it, like Dolphins fans are now jumping back on. Is that allowable, Ike?
Yeah, that's the cool part of being a fan.
Oh, it's cool.
That's the cool part of being a fan. You could be wishy-washy. You can go whichever way you want to go to.
Wishy-washy.
If your team is doing good, you're going to bandwagon. If your team doing bad, you're ready to bash them. That's a good thing about being a fan in the NFL. Now, on the player standpoint, it's more on the players talking about the players. Like, so if I'm up here and I'm really bashing the player, they're going to be looking at me like, dang, Ike, for real? You play the game, so you really going to dog me like that? So I got to be careful on how I say things. But from a fan perspective, man, we understand all that.
Also, Dave, you haven't had to deal with that since, like, the mid-'80s was the last time.
Are you
Steelers
kidding
me? Was bad. That's the last time the Steelers were really bad. I've had a decade of having my heart broken, so all I was trying to do is not put myself out there
I see.
To have my heart slashed apart again by the Dolphins.
All right, you're also...
You haven't... But what? I'm also what?
You're also ignoring that there have... It's not like this. There haven't been bum years in Pittsburgh for the Steelers.
Maybe one at a time. I'm
guess
talking
what?
About a decade of
what's
heartbreak.
A bum, what's a bum
what's
year?
A bum year look like? Oh,
6-10.
They only won
we
nine
did 6-10
games.
My rookie year.
All right. But it's not merely just being really crummy. There are two states of sorrow for a football fan that are potential. One is that you're an embarrassing team and you knew that in August and that's how it's playing out. Or your expectations are deep playoff run, maybe a Super Bowl, and you don't even get into the postseason.
Right.
That's also
that's disappointing, but it's a different type of disappointment.
All right. Well, it's a pretty big disappointment if the Steelers
that's one punch. This what I'm talking about is just a constant I can't take it anymore.
So I have an example for you.
I want to lie down.
Detroit Free Press is already calling for a playoff game for the Lions at home for the first time in a million years, something like that. And I'm like, stop writing it. Just stop. Don't even put that out there in the universe. I don't want that because then
you've been disappointed.
Well,
so
what's
much.
I've learned how to be disappointed.
Which was worse for you, Cynthia? 0-16. Lions or the year that they got sort of jobbed in Dallas 2 years ago when they should have advanced to the divisional round? What was more painful?
0-16.
Really?
Apart from the fact that then you can go in the draft and get Matthew Stafford, which has been a difference maker, it's sad. People don't come to games.
Right.
It's not exciting.
And when you're a punchline, like, it's fine to be like, oh, that was a bad loss last week, but, you know, Dave, whatever. But right. Then when you're a punchline, when, like, Jimmy Kimmel is making jokes about your team in shows at nighttime, you've transcended being a bad football team. You're now a national embarrassment.
See, now, here's what I'm going to say.
And that's where the Dolphins have been for the last decade.
But you also, here's now something to look forward to, because when you say that O-line's getting better, that was part of the draft.
Right.
So you're like, hey, there's hope.
Yep.
Hope for the
future.
There's
a future.
Yeah.
There is a
and
future.
Then you're like, wait, we got rid of Lamar Miller and what? Oh, Jay Ajayi. Oh, hope. Like, you know, that.
But
kind of
I will say, like Ike said, if the team is bad, you can jump off the bat. If they're bad enough, you can salvage your dignity and say, I'm not going to support that. And you can't make me do it, too. Like the Lakers last year, hey, we've given you a lot of good times. You guys have got to support us when we're bad. No, I don't. I have dignity. Why am I obligated?
But that's what the NFL is about. At the start of every season, around the draft time especially, like that hope is being sold.
Yeah.
And so in August, it's difficult, even though as a rational human being, I know this is not a good team. I'm still buying in. This year, I decided I wouldn't.
Real quick,
and now
Cynthia,
I'm happy.
Just lay it on us with your analytics. I suspect that Adam Gase is turning this thing around, and I was saying this before the 3-game winning streak started.
I'm kidding.
I certainly did. I said Gase is going to work this thing out by the end of 2016. I said by Christmas we'll be singing a different tune about him. I was wrong because I got there in November.
Well, I like that you're wrong there. No, I think, look, you want all teams to kind of be good, right? I'd love nothing more than for every game to be as nail-biting and exciting as possible, where you think anyone could win at any particular time. It's a really hard division that they play in. I mean, the Patriots, come on. Jets are down. The Bills, pretty good. So this is a hard division to be in, but I think you have to see the things that they've been able to make decisions on. Laremy Tunsil, for example, and even Jay Ajayi as opposed to Lamar Miller, you're starting to see that the decisions that have been made since he's been there, that he has control over. Now, we don't necessarily know that because we don't know the dynamic in the front office, but the things he can control seem to be going in the right direction.
The best thing he could have did was give Jay Ajayi the ball and take it out of Ryan Tannehill's hand.
Yep. And that's what he's
doing. And I hate to say that, but I mean – and it's a copycat league, so you can kind of just tell, man, they're doing what Dallas is doing. It's the same recipe. You know what? I'm going to take it out of my quarterback hand for the majority of the part. Hopefully, I'm going to give him enough plays because he's athletic enough to make a few plays. But I'm going to give it to the train, Jay Ajayi. And Jay Ajayi has been balling. And I'm going to build this front line with first-rounders.
Yep.
The same way Dallas is doing. Dallas got first-round guys, got Ezekiel Elliott, and they still have Dak the same way. It's the same recipe. They finally took the ball out of Tannehill's hand.
They say, you're not the guy. Let's
we
not
gave you this
100.
Okay, cool. We tried to justify it. Okay, cool. It didn't work. Let me get a ball to this young stud, and you see what they're doing.
Okay, so I need to run in a second, but I think that it's really interesting to see like the good O-lines. They're the ones who, like, Oakland has a great O-line, right? Those are the ones. And I actually think it's really exciting to see, like, these young guys like Derek Carr and, like, Dak and Ezekiel. That's, like, the future of football, right? So that's exciting. Hopefully we see the same thing in Miami with the building that line.
You want a little bit of hyperbole. The
like
fall
hyperbole.
Of Laremy Tunsil could be a generational
blessing.
Difference
no question.
Maker in that division. I mean, Tom Brady's
definitely.
Not going to hang around forever.
Yep.
That piece fell to them, and that could be the foundation.
No question.
Like,
no question.
Hit the how good of a player he was valued at before whatever happened on draft night.
He was supposed to be the first.
They stole him.
He was supposed
to
be the first player to take off.
They totally stole him. They got platinum for the price of copper.
No question.
You know?
No question.
Yeah.
All right, Cynthia Freeland's going to go. There she goes
Thank
out the
you.
Door. Fare thee well, Cynthia Freeland. Once again, watch your NFL Fantasy Live,
she
Game Day Morning,
it.
Everywhere else, and, of course, on the Pick'em Show on Saturday. Now, Ike, let's turn to – well, you know what? Let's get to Ike's breakdown. I do want to talk about that. It was a good win and an important win. I was going to say I hate to pat myself on the back, but, of course, I don't. The Seahawks, I did not take the bait this year. They got me 2014. They got me in 2015, midway through the season. Oh, I don't know if they're even going to get into the postseason. Not this year. Not this year, friend. I'm on board with what they do. This is the start of their rise. You saw Russell Wilson looking a lot better last night physically.
Yep.
That's the key detail, along with the fact that we can talk about the lack of a running game and pass catchers and all that kind of stuff. The fact of the matter is the Seahawks, and this might bum out NFC foes, is they have a star at every position, and they have a lot of those guys locked up for the next several years. They're not going anywhere. They have a star at almost every position on the field. Even when they have injuries, they're still loaded back there, and that's going to end up winning, and that's why that team, I hear me now, believe me later, that's the team that's going to the Super Bowl.
I agree.
Ike, so you talked about Jimmy Graham, and if he can emerge and be a difference maker, make a couple of plays a game for them, that really should be enough for them to win almost every week.
Jimmy Graham can stay healthy along with that defense, because the defense, man, ain't going nowhere. Cam Chancellor's still out. That's what we're forgetting. Mm-hmm. When he comes back, it's going to be a whole nother presence back there in that secondary. Jimmy Graham, he's finally become healthy. And Russell Wilson, like we've been talking, oh, Russell Wilson, he's finally beginning to look like that Russell Wilson in the red zone. Like, he's good in the red zone. What I like about what the offensive coordinator did in the play action pass, the offensive line is okay. It's okay. But we're going to fake you out. I'm a Peyton Manning you when he was with the Colts. Hey, psych, no, never mind. And it sucks the linebackers up, and it opens windows behind the linebackers where Russell Wilson can just drop the ball in.
Well, yeah, mobile QB with the at the level that Russell Wilson is,
right,
can at least to some degree negate a crummy offensive line with, like,
correct,
play action roles and some of those boots that we saw there. And like I say, Ike, that's why I should be an offensive coordinator. Because when you're third in inches, fourth in inches, bootlegs will always work.
He scored off a bootleg. Yeah.
I know they did, yep, and that's because they were listening to Damashek.
Okay.
Ike, I mean, Handsome, worst loss you saw?
Sorry, guys.
Say it.
The Steelers.
Yeah, they looked terrible.
And then at the end, they embarrassed themselves. That's flat out, like,
The
Boswell thing, whatever that was supposed to be, like, it was one of those ones that would have flown under the radar. Yeah, you lost to a division foe, that stuff happens, but then you do that at the end. That's embarrassing.
I agree. I'm going to go with the Vikings as the worst loss of the week, because they had that one, like we say, they really could have seized the division and buried the Lions, and instead now, just like the Steelers lost, now this thing's going to be a mess, a slog all the way
through. Feels like they've gone a bit 2015 Falcons.
Gotta go with.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's hard for the Steelers because the AFC West. That's what I be telling people. Like, we just looking at the AFC North. Man, that's 6-2, 5-2, 7-1. I mean, 6-2, 7-2 up during the AFC. So the AFC West is making it hard for all the AFC teams. So
that's right. Well, now there's no wiggle room. Either win your division crown or you don't go to the postseason.
But 10-6 might not get you in the dough.
Right.
Right.
Because of what the AFC West is doing.
You know that probably the teams, the third and fourth seeds in the AFC could wind up having a worse record than the fifth and sixth seeds.
That's right.
Correct.
That's
right. That could be the way it goes.
Correct.
The way it's shaping up, there will be two wild cards from the AFC West, but they do have to play each other.
That and at the end of the season, someone lose, you know, injuries, whatever, and someone may slide out.
All right, we're going to skip Ike's scapegoat this week. We were going to get to that, but instead, now that we're 9 weeks in, I want to re-rank the quarterbacks. And Handsome, you said cast a vote for them, if you will. I think it's interesting. Everybody always enjoys ranking the NFL QBs here in the quarterback league in the 21st century. But if you take a look at it, you know, up until last year, it was easy to do, basically. You could debate position, but it was always Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, debate what order you want to put those guys into. Now, all of a sudden, after Tom Brady, Ike, who's the second best quarterback in the league?
Derek Carr.
I mean,
really?
Hard to argue with.
They 5-0 on the road.
I mean, it's...
They 5 on the road.
Yep.
They 5-0 on the road.
Bad defense for the most part this year.
In the first game when they played the Saints, they didn't go for the tie. They went for the juggler. Mm-hmm. Like, we're trying to get out New Orleans with a W. So Coach Jack Del Rio said, you know what, we're going for it. And he throws the Crabtree in the back of the end zone. So now you go to Tampa.
Maybe helps define what the season's going
to
be.
You go to Tampa, and if you watch the Tampa in the last drive for the OT, he didn't have a running back in the backfield. Like, he left that offense all up to Derek Carr. So when you see that, it's like, from a player's perspective, it's like, dang, so this is really Derek Carr team right here. This is really Derek Carr team.
But are you saying, let's say
– Right now, man, this is Derek – I mean, because the running game is off and on for the Raiders, off and on. But the passing game has been consistent. He's the most valuable player on that team. You take Derek – see, as much as I love Tom, they still was 3-1 without him. You take Derek Carr out of the Raiders – you don't even know. You don't even know who the backup is right now.
It is a great point. But so let's say people do those five-year projections, mm-hmm. and that involves age and everything else. And, you know, obviously even Brady would lose in that one. But we are talking about a 39-year-old man, by the way, who is the clear-cut best quarterback in the NFL, which is crazy by itself. But let's say for the next year and a half, you get to have a QB. You're taking Derek Carr over Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, Matt Ryan.
No, we're talking about Cam. We're talking about this year.
I'm talking about the next year and a half.
You got to define what we're ranking. If you're saying like through eight games.
All right, who's good? We're talking about who. Let's rank the QBs here. Go ahead.
We're talking about eight games, right. Or are we talking about a kind
know.
Of more general?
Who's the best QB.
Tom Brady's the best QB. I still, you know, I'm not. It's funny that the list that MVP typed up for us doesn't even have Ben on here. That's embarrassing. But
wait a minute, is that true, MVP? You didn't put Ben Roethlisberger on.
It's fine. She's calling her shot. She called her shot here, and that's fine. I admire it.
We have some B-roll ready for him.
She's an alleged Steelers fan too. Talk about jumping off the bandwagon,
no.
Ike.
So look, I'm not ready to give up on Rodgers. I'm not ready to give up on Cam. I'm not ready to give up on Andrew Luck. The guy that has caught my eye this season in the same way that Derek Carr has with Ike is Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford always looked like a guy who had the talent. When he came out, we knew he had a big arm. He was pro ready, but Megatron was the guy. You know, it was just too easy for him.
Cheat code.
And then you'd find him like. He's like, why are you sidearming that throw off your back foot when you're not under pressure? There was weird stuff happening. Feels like Jim Bob Cooter has fixed his mechanics,
right.
And now he's playing as well as you could have ever expected.
Well, it hits me that that both of the candidates you guys just threw out, while perfectly reasonable, again, that's why I wanted to bring this up, is because so you have Tom Brady one, and then, well, of course you could just throw in Russell Wilson and Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers.
You're not helping
this
us.
This year.
Help us help you.
I'm saying it's a mess at the QB. The guys who you would slot in there as
haven't
recently
done what
as
they
August.
Need to. Yeah.
This August, if you would have made this list, Cam would be right there. Aaron Rodgers would be there. Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson.
Right.
Now, Roethlisberger, Cam. I mean, it's hard to – and Aaron Rodgers, hard to make a case that they would be ahead of either of them.
But that goes back to what I was saying earlier about the AFC North and NFC North. We still – you still believe that, Ben's going to find his way. He'll get back to what he was doing the same way that Russell Wilson has. Aaron Rodgers, he'll work it out. The receivers may, you know – it hasn't got a running game. The receivers haven't been catching his passes, but they'll work it out. But for now, after eight games, you can't possibly put those guys number 2, 3, 4 because they haven't shown it this season.
I don't believe in the 21st century that market size and all that stuff really matters that much. I think you obviously, as LeBron proves, you know, you could play anywhere. If you're playing a professional sport in the U.S., you're going to get some coverage.
Different from basketball to football.
However, that being said, you know who we always sleep on and is really quiet?
Phil Rivers.
I know where you was headed.
He might be having the second best QB season out there.
Yeah.
Man, look at no Keenan Allen immediately taking off. Before the season even starts, Stevie Johnson's out. I mean, you know, they don't take Danny Woodhead, who, if nothing else, improves your completion percentage with all those dump-offs that he gave him a year ago. Not there for him this year.
Push the ball down.
And yet, this team, really, with all the tough losses and everything else, they still might get into the postseason.
Phillip Rivers gives his team opportunity every week.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Every week.
All right, not scared of anything.
Let's try to do it. So Brady won. Oh, and also Drew Brees is semi-quietly having a decent season.
Yes, he is.
You know? They have no defense either, and they're in this thing.
All we can agree on is Brady's number one. At this point,
I think that's the bottom line.
I don't think we can assess
Andrew Luck at this point. I mean, he's out there. We've talked about QBs that don't have a lot of help, but I mean, really, I know Dante Moncrief's return and Frank Gore's getting it going a little bit here. Again, improbably given his age.
Right.
But still, that's a very flawed team, and they're kind of in it. Well, I don't know how we factor him into it. I don't know if we've accomplished anything in the last
I don't think we have.
5 or 10 minutes. I mean, you can blame me, but that's the state of QBs in the NFL. How do you even rank
them? Well, let's say Brady won and the rest.
We're talking about the good ones. We're not even talking about the crummy ones. We're talking about the good ones.
That's
we can't figure out who's.
Hank was trying to ask you, are you talking now? Like,
I don't know.
So
my
now
answer.
He doesn't know what he's talking
so
about.
So now is the young guys. Now is the Dax, other than Tom Brady, who's playing good right now. And
all right,
and
well, project. Well, here, that's what you need to do. You need to look into your crystal balls as analysts and tell me,
now,
are these mirages that we've seen or will these sustain? Do you want for the next 18 months of football? I will still take Aaron Rodgers at the end of the day over Matt Ryan, over Matt Stafford.
Derek Carr? You would take – right now, you would take
no, I think I,
Aaron
you know
Rodgers
what?
Over Derek Carr.
For the next 18 months, no, I guess I'll go Derek Carr.
Yeah, it sounds about right. We're talking about right because, honestly, AR, as good as he is, he hasn't been playing good.
No, I'm a snob. I'm going to stay Rodgers. I'm going to stay Cam. I'm going to stick
to
my guns
at
the halfway point.
I don't think that
– I'm staying with
Roethlisberger. Cam is still there. This like Cam right now he's angry about life, and he's angry about the way he's being treated. But you know he can get on a roll.
See, I got the Carolina Panthers as my ultimate team coming back. Making
yeah,
360.
I think that's going to happen. I think
all
you know, if you're talking about some of the best wins of the week, I think that the just them getting wins right now. It doesn't matter who it's against or where it happens.
And they
got to
win against a good defense.
Okay, let's just focus on this then. I know I keep changing it.
Okay,
which of the guys' names that are in the top 10 or 12 in contention right now that you would say the best QBs in the NFL halfway through 2016? Who is going to fall back? Who has been a little bit fraudulent in the success they've had? Who is will not be able to carry this through the season?
Mike, I love what he's done so far, but does Dak hit a rookie wall?
Okay, that's a
my question is like and is him and Zeke if you're talking about the Seahawks being the NFC's playoff team. And then they have to go up at some point. The Cowboys have to go up against the Seahawks some point during the playoffs when Dak's 20 games into a rookie season. How are things looking for him then?
Ike?
Matty Ice.
Yep, that's the one. He's got to do it, man. Like as people say, it's unfair.
He's got unfair? He's got Julio. That's unfair. If you're talking about what's unfair, he's got a guy who's superhuman to throw the ball to every time. I realize that was what we just talked about with Matt Stafford. But Matty Ice is a little bit more...
Maybe I'm a
balanced.
I guess I am a cynic because ultimately, as I think of this through now, I'm looking at this list. I still would go if you ask me who do I want for the long haul, and relatively speaking, the next 18 months is the long haul.
Brady.
I'll take Brady, but I'll also take Russell Wilson, Roethlisberger, Rodgers, and Newton.
Pick
and
one.
You can have all your guys. You
pick,
can have all
one.
Those other guys.
Pick one for the next 18
Second
months.
Second best in the
no.
I'm
going
to take Aaron Rodgers.
For the 2017 season.
He's still the best.
The 2017 season, they award a 33rd franchise to you. You're the owner of the Sheckers, and you get there's a draft, and you can pick from any player, and who's going to be your quarterback. That's what we're talking. Now that's the question. The 2017 season.
That would be my – well, maybe Cam Newton.
Which one?
Would be the only other – I'll take Aaron Rodgers. Ike, Derek Carr. You're going to go with Matt Stafford out of all these names.
No, I'm not. Now you've actually defined
what
the question is.
What we're talking
about. Now 25 minutes into this.
And?
Cam.
Cam. All right, Ike.
I'm going to take Derek Carr.
Derek Carr. All right. Fun show today. Good stuff from, as always, from Ike Taylor. Check him out on Total Access on Monday nights, on NFL Now and beyond, always doing gangbusters work.
Thank you.
And Handsome Hank, what a pleasure to see you once again. You'll be back with us on the second show this
week,
right? I hope
so. Yeah, I'd like to come on Thursday if I can.
Excellent. And Ike and Handsome are going to be a part of the NFL Pick'em show. Again, you can watch that on Saturday. Make sure you check that out. And, then next week we will definitely get to Ike's scapegoat of the week. I want to get to that segment. In the meantime, though, look for our picks show later in the week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. Oh, rate us on iTunes, says Emma VP. So rate us on iTunes. We'll talk to you in a couple days. Meantime,
it's been a
thin slice of heaven.
Boom.